Hello, folks. This is the Knick Knack Podcast. I'm Knick Knack. I'm a queer and trans self-identified autist with a variety of deep interests. This will be season 15, episode 30, and I'm calling it They Say It's Raining. Today, I want to focus on media portrayals of autism, realizing, of course, that in my own way, I am part of the media. But again, I feel I have something to contribute in the pursuit of greater engagement and emotional relief. So grab a beverage and a breath, and let's get started. I've been away from the media front of the fight to be seen and engaged as a self-identified autistic person for a little while now. I realize it's an important front in the fight for civil rights, but by and large, media portrayals are so neurotypical in their view that I must choose not to expose myself to such humbug very often. In short, although I enjoy some of the media I plan to discuss today, it does tremendous harm regardless. The intent of the media creators is irrelevant. The impact of the media is determined by the beholder, including this piece of media. Again, no right answer is immediately apparent. All I can do is share my view of what's right or wrong about certain pieces of media. As I do this, please bear in mind that autism is a spectrum that impacts every individual differently. Please take this for what it is. One autistic person's view about how autism is portrayed in media. With that in mind, let's start with Rain Man. Rain Man was a film that I thought I had seen, but apparently not. It was recently recommended and that I watch it and asked that I view some opinion on it relative to autism, so here goes. Rain Man was released in 1988. At the time, in my life, I was just beginning to show signs that I was on the spectrum that year as I was recovering from the cancer treatment and beginning to self-soothe, or stim as it's called. I was three for most of 1988. The movie reflects what few memories I have of how I was treated around this time remarkably well. And although I am on a different part of the spectrum than that which Raymond was portrayed to be in the movie, there are some eerie parallels. I would be extremely interested to hear or see what a person on Raymond's part of the spectrum thinks and yield to that as a more definitive truth than the one that I am about to share. Nonetheless, here it goes. The movie portrays Raymond as an autistic savant in need of careful supervision in order to function in the neurotypical world. The portrayal is limited, of course, in that it only serves to capture and reflect what the writer, director, and actors understood of the woefully inadequate science and policy of the times. The heart of the plot revolves around Charlie, Raymond's brother, seeing some of the humanity in his long-lost brother as he kidnaps him in an effort to gain what he thinks of as his rightful inheritance after having a crappy relationship with his father. Charlie only gains limited awareness of his selfishness through the storytelling mechanic of Raymond, his autistic savant brother. This brings us to the biggest problem with this piece of media. Autistic people are people, not storytelling mechanics. If this movie served to make more people aware of autism and savantism, it did so in the wrong way and for the wrong reason. The writer's choice to use Raymond as a mechanic robs viewers of the opportunity to see Raymond for who he is. The scenes are carefully crafted only to tell Raymond's story in the context of Charlie's story. So the viewer never really knows why Raymond behaves the way he does, or why the attempts that the doctors and Charlie make to change Raymond's behavior might be damaging to Raymond. All that's offered is the stereotypical and standard medical mumbo-jumbo based on the external view. The climax of the movie is a custody battle between Charlie and the doctor who has institutionalized Raymond for most of his life. Charlie loses, and Raymond ends up in the hands of the doctor, with Charlie promising to visit him in 2 weeks' time. So far as I know, this is a fictional story, but please, imagine for a second you were Raymond. Imagine you were sent to live in an institution for years. Imagine adjusting to that, eventually. Then imagine being kidnapped and taken away from everything you've known for years. Imagine this asshole brother that you haven't seen for years is the kidnapper. Imagine being assaulted by your environment the whole way along. Imagine trying to communicate that you're under too much stress and being ignored at every step. Imagine having one of your few talents be exploited by your ass of a brother. Imagine being away from your safe space. Imagine finding a new safe space and being ripped out of it repeatedly. Imagine that no one's understanding you. As a person on the spectrum, that is my best guess at how Raymond's character might have experienced the events of the story. I'm not a savant. I don't have the life experience this movie portrays and exploits. Like I said, I would really appreciate and yield to hearing or seeing what a person with a closer experience parallel thinks. I'm sure I've missed a lot, though I think I managed to catch some in having a parallel experience that allowed me to come up with that estimation of what the character of Raymond might have felt throughout the events of the movie. What I do have in my experience of the spectrum is something a little bit less dramatic than what is portrayed in the movie relative to the sort of savant thing. For me, it's special interests, a handful of self-soothing coping mechanisms, and an understanding that few like or see me for who I am. Gun to my head, I'd say my personal experience of the spectrum is better matched with Greg House of House MD or some mix of a select few of the protagonists on The Big Bang Theory. Like House, Leonard, Sheldon, and to some extent Howard, I have a few things I'm really good at. For me, storytelling, songwriting, philosophizing, moralizing, writing, system analysis, podcasting, research, any sort of simulation game, those are my special interests. Note that that isn't an exhaustive list. Like many of the characters I mentioned, I can enjoy and do things related to my special interests practically endlessly. When things are right, the special interests are my greatest joy. I could probably work for 24 hours straight on a podcast or other special interest project and have the work be my best. But like House or any other character, if you come in and fuck up the flow, burnout and meltdown occur. And if you try to take me out of my comfort zone or force me to adapt to a social situation that I'm just not suited for, the same outcome is likely. That's more like the world I experience. House and The Big Bang Theory are particularly damaging portrayals because they claim they aren't portrayals of artistic and otherwise divergent lives. I suspect the writers denied that House or Sheldon, in particular, are artistic because they wanted to protect themselves and give themselves some creative freedom and license to mold the characters as they saw fit. But if you're going to portray autistic life, be honest about it, for God's sake. House, in particular, is shown as someone who consistently makes bad choices. as if he had the capacity to make a different choice than he does. This despite the fact that in his dialogue, he says he makes the best choices that are available to him. He logically thinks it out. He is as rational as a human can possibly be. To some extent, Wilson and Cuddy on that show get some credit in that they try to be supportive of House and who he is and enabling his strength and trying not to let his weaknesses destroy him. They do get some credit there. But what they never do is really, truly listen. And that is tragically true to life. Tragically. On both House and Big Bang, the need for comedy forces a mocking tone. This is doubly harmful, not only in that it portrays people mocking autistic traits, but it also has an impact on autistic viewers in a number of ways. There are some who, like me, use media portrayals to mirror and fill the social gaps. For me, this has led to the massive internalization of the character of Chandler from Friends, House from House, Leonard and Sheldon from Big Bang, Spock and Data from Star Trek, and countless others. The result is a social mass stitched together based on externally unhealthy and unhelpful views of what's acceptable and how I should be. But it's the only way I've been able to try and fill the missing gaps in the social puzzle of a world that I just don't understand and never will. In so many ways, for me, watching House's character, in particular, as he moves his way through the world, is like watching a more idealized mirror image of myself. I wish I could be that intellectual, witty, and blunt out loud. I'm definitely that way in my head. And, quite honestly, I'm much more like that character than I would care to be if I had a choice. Simultaneously, like that character, I can understand some, not all, but some social rules and work hard to mask for a short time. But doing so leaves me burnt out and desperately needing to get to a non-oppressive space where I can just be myself. That character, myself, and my neurotype are so woefully misunderstood, it's sick. My autistic brain is very good at recognizing patterns. It's not good at adapting when a pattern unexpectedly changes, as it so often does when you're dealing with social situations. I can, in fact, experience empathy and have meaningful connections when all the variables are right. The medical community could not be more wrong about that aspect of the diagnosis. Additionally, they couldn't be more wrong about the ability to lie and manipulate. The skills needed to lie and manipulate can indeed be learned by many autistic people. It is not something I do often. It's not something I do well. And it's not something I enjoy. But it is a skill that I will use when I absolutely need it. In fact, I've seen it used by an autist to extremely devastating effect. Mostly because if somebody says they're autistic, you don't expect them to be able to lie, cheat, and manipulate the hell out of you. But some individuals on the spectrum that have had really crappy life experiences will learn that skill early, will learn that skill well, and will use it quite effectively. Personally speaking, like I said, I try not to use it. My moral code is extremely rigid and extremely complex. Violating my code has tremendous consequences for me. I can't even begin to articulate it. So I stick to my moral code as closely as I can. And again, going back to the character of House, that mirrors that character pretty damn well. He definitely has a moral code. He definitely has a sense of what he thinks is right and wrong. It's just that what our moral codes tell us to do not always reflect the standard moral code. The big takeaway here is that being autistic is an extremely varied and unique experience. Despite trying to avoid it, I have invariably made some generalizations and have probably unintentionally did some damage here. Just know that it's a unique experience. It's a spectrum. Not everybody is the same. Evaluate it on a case-by-case basis, not as some abstract generalization that you can just whip out of a psychology textbook or reference book. Those that don't have this lived experience can certainly study it and can certainly attempt to create a story about it. But really, doing so without consulting a person who has lived the experience is harmful and unfair. Above all else, we are living, breathing humans. Ask us respectively about our experience and if you may use it in a story. Hell, ask if we'd be willing to help create the damn story. That would lead to some wonderful creations, absolutely wonderful creations. But for the love of goodness, don't use our lives as a cheap story mechanic. And don't lie about portraying your version of our lives. That's horrific. There is nothing, and I mean nothing worse, than someone who has power and influence using their alleged authority to tell you who you are is wrong. That you must suppress who you naturally are and be fixed. No good could come of that. No good has come of that. Studies have shown that autistics live far shorter lives on average. The average life expectancy ranges from 39.5 years to 58 years, depending on where a person falls on the spectrum and what, if any, co-occurring challenges they might face. For reference, the current U.S. life expectancy per the CDC as of 2020 is 77.3 years. I'll turn 37 at the end of this month. I'm trying to make it to no less than 42. You can help. Empathetically listen and engage with autistic people in your life. Merely being aware and passively accepting is not enough. If you're a media creator, by and large, stick to what you know. If you don't know it, go directly to a person that does. If you're a health professional or a researcher, make sure any choice you make is made after including the people with lived experiences that will be impacted by your work. You've been demanding that I give a damn about your average world for almost 37 years now. Time to flip the damn script. Do your part. Don't just raise awareness or increase begrudging acceptance. Be as inclusionary as you can in what you consume and create. Admit it when you fuck up. Universe knows that we humans fuck up far more often than we care to admit. I fuck up a lot. And I mean a lot. But this is my best. All apologies. I challenge you to do better. And I challenge you, if you do choose to call me out, to do so as respectfully as possible. I struggle with it, but I make every effort to do the same. If you'd like to support my work in the form of feedback or donations, please head to knickknackpod.net. That's NICNACPOD.net. Reviews in the podcast apps help as well. Again, please be as kind and conscientious and constructive as you can possibly be. It really helps. The music is Catch Me If You Can by Attica Attica and Raindrop Rhapsody by Josh Elkenberry. You can find Attica Attica at atticaattica.bandcamp.com. I thank Josh and Attica Attica for allowing their creations to be used in this production. I share and know the value of the Creative Commons approach to intellectual creations, which is why the Knick Knack Podcast and Epis Ride Along series is copyright 2006 through 2021 by Knick Knack Marsh and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial 4.0 International License. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Thank you to Anthony before suggesting that I take a look at Rain Man. And hopefully, FS Ride-Along Episode 100 will be next. We'll see. May you find the safety and support to empower you and meet your needs. Bye. So catch me if you can. I'm